I Rise, Part 1, by Lyle May, Opus Number 0580028. The first time I ran from the police, it was for violating curfew, a condition of my juvenile probation. After the cop caught me, I was returned to the main youth center and put in solitary confinement. This punishment was administered to any delinquent who attempted to evade authority and was meant to instill fear and obedience, avoid the law, and suffer the consequences. At 16, the hole was a scary place where food was scarce, clothing a privilege, and kindness a rarity. There were no books or magazines, no TV or music. Silence smothered the cells where only a single light bulb pushed back the darkness. They called it ICU, Intensive Control Unit, and staff were brutal. In the ICU, even teenage bravado gave way to the despair of total isolation and deprivation. Talking was forbidden, so when we communicated with each other, it was in whispers between the cracks under the door. I remember laying on the cold concrete for hours, flicking ants and other insects out of the way, as I listened to stories of street life from another kid. Pacing helped ease long days and nights in that cold hell, but so too did counting cinder blocks and mapping the constellation of cracks in the floor. Sometimes, I sang half-remembered songs before trailing off into a hum. Even though forever was measured in seconds, minutes, hours, and days, I knew it would end, eventually. The hardest part of doing time in ICU was hearing kids who acted up get beaten by adults who were supposed to be our legal guardians and caretakers. While most kids my age were thinking about prom or driver's ed, I was getting an altogether different education as a ward of the state. At the time, I knew there couldn't be anything worse than being in the ICU on a Saturday night. 2 years later, I was charged with 2 capital murders in North Carolina and sent to the Morganton high-rise for safekeeping. From a distance, the high-rise looked like an apartment complex jutting from a wooded valley in the Blue Ridge Mountains. Up close, the image changed with the appearance of razor wire coiled atop chain-link fences, gun towers manned by rifle-toting guards, and prowling pursuit vehicles that stalked the perimeter fence. Within the 16-story building were hundreds of boys and young men aged 12 to 21, incarcerated for crimes as varied as shoplifting, arson, and murder. It was August of 97 when I arrived at the high-rise to await trial. Safekeeping is a common practice where county jails outsource high-risk, high-profile prisoners until they can be tried. Rather than send me to an adult prison as a 19-year-old, after 6 weeks, the county shipped me to the Western Youth Institution in Morgan, North Carolina. Nobody called it that, though. It was simply the high-rise. At the high-rise, safekeepers were segregated on the 13th floor in solitary cells, without toilets or running water. Locked behind a wooden door with a small plexiglass window for 23 hours a day, the confinement was harder than what I encountered in Maine. A single communal restroom with 3 toilets and a urinal served 24 people, but this did not guarantee access. Some staff loved tormenting any of us who needed to use a toilet, ignoring requests outright. Empty bottles, milk cartons, and styrofoam cups were a must. After I was strip-searched and dressed out in a mustard-yellow jumpsuit, an immense guard well over 6 feet handcuffed me. He led me to an open elevator with an older guard stooped from the weight of time, and through a haze of sight meds, I wondered what was next. The door closed. In the hot metal space was a subtle smell of oil. The floor vibrated. The elevator doors jumped open on a new floor. Kids in plastic chairs watched a music video on TV. When the gorilla pushed me into the room, a stocky guard snapped, "Go to your cells," before spitting into a Mountain Dew bottle. He was more toad than man, wide, thick-lipped mouth, bulging throat, and no neck. A few of the kids in the yellow jumpsuits spared me a glance before they scattered down the hallway into their cells, doors locking closed. Unease churned my stomach. I'd seen this before, like people running to their cellars before a vicious storm. Kids on state knew when to get out of the way. A tall, lanky guard with a thin mustache and thinner comb over narrowed his eyes, hooking thumbs in his belt loops. He had the swagger of a gunslinger, a man accustomed to getting his way and liking it too much. The toad nodded to the gunslinger, who snatched the property bag from my stiff hands and dumped its content on the floor. "Take the cuffs off," said the toad. He kicked my things around with his boot. I knew the setup. Get angry and speak out, and they beat the crap out of you. Resist and it gets worse. A familiar routine from the main youth center, one I didn't want any part of. Watching me stand there and rub feeling back into numb fingers, the toad smiled. What you in for, boy? It was such a deep question. I had no intention of answering it. My mind shied from the madness of being incapable of remembering a heinous double murder and unable to defend myself with such a response. Though heavy doses of amphetamine and Zyprexa clouded my mind, blunted my feelings, the drugs couldn't stop a shudder twitching my shoulders. Anyway, it was none of their damn business. Stealing cars and selling drugs, I said, the usual. That right, smirked the toad. You a real smart mouth, son of a bitch, ain't you? We know you're a killer, a fucking murderer. Your shit's been all over the news, boy. They're gonna fry you up good and proper. He paused then and stared at my blank expression. Got just a thing for you. Pick that shit up off the floor and let's go. The ICU didn't prepare me for what came next, because you can't feel a beating just by listening to one from behind a steel door. Besides, I've never been much of a troublemaker, just made some really dumb mistakes. To some pigs, prison guards and street cops alike, none of that matters. Though it had only been 2 years, the youth center seemed so long ago, a lifetime on the street. There was no way I could know I would end up in this nightmare about to manifest.